Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'd like today to continue talking about the supremacy of Christ. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program over the last few days, I've been talking about St. Paul's teaching from his letter to the Colossians and other places in the New Testament where Paul and other authors are always teaching, as they're seeking to encourage the Christian communities that they're shepherding or that others are shepherding. All these communities, as I've mentioned many times throughout the week, they're in very difficult situations. They're brand new communities. They believe things that nobody else around them believes. In fact, they believe things that are absolutely rejected by the powers that be in Rome. They don't have much power, much influence. They're marginalized. In some places, they're being martyred. They're being persecuted everywhere. There's false teachers even among them. And they have a lot of difficult things they're facing. And Paul, who writes in this letter to the community in Colossae, the Colossians, he's writing from prison, probably, and he knows what they're undergoing. And he writes the letter first to help them deal with it. And the first thing he does is he reminds them who Christ is, and he reminds them who they are. And this is very telling and important, and I think instructive thing for us, for Christians today, as we face trials and difficulties of various kinds. How do we, as Paul says, how do we find the power to endure them patiently, and endure them with joy? How's that even possible? Think about how easy it is to have our eggs scrambled as soon as we get into some kind of difficult circumstance, or we're disappointed about something, or someone betrays us or disappoints us. Dreams and hopes that we thought we were going to be able to lay our hands on don't come to fruition, and how that can just wreck us. Well, very few of us, there are brothers and sisters in the world who definitely do face this kind of persecution. Very few of us face the kind of hostility these early Christian communities face. And Paul brought them into a reality which he himself lived and the apostles lived. It wasn't a fantasy. It wasn't denial, living in denial. In the midst of rejection and being marginalized and being thought nothing and being rejected and spit out by the world, they lived with a vision of reality that burned in them like a lamp burning in the night. They touched God. They saw God. They saw God revealed in the life and the person of Jesus Christ. They believed that revelation and the truth that Jesus revealed about himself, what he's accomplished, and it totally changed their lives. And it gave them a strength, a joy, a genuine happiness that they never dreamt probably they would ever have in this life, despite the fact that all the circumstances of their life, all the kind of, what do you think, the markers that we would look at to determine whether someone's going to likely be happy or not, or whether it would make us happy or fulfilled, all the things that the world and we absorb ourselves, that the world defines, is going to lead us to happiness and fulfillment. You know, it's lots of money, lots of comfort, lots of influence, lots of success, lots of vacations, lots of everything. They had none of that. Yet they had what most baptized Catholics today don't actually experience subjectively, because they don't know who Christ is and they don't know who they are. They haven't laid hold of it, as St. Paul says, fully grasping it, hungering after it, seeking it, devouring it, seeking that wisdom and spiritual understanding, and living with other brothers and sisters in Christ and living in radical obedience to him, having made that decision. I think of Psalm 37 quite often, the simple disposition that the psalm exhorts us to. It says, trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit your way to the Lord. Trust, delight, commit. A very helpful thing to think about. Am I radically trusting in him? Have I surrendered my life to Christ? Am I living in his church? Am I running after him in obedience and love? Have I entrusted my troubles, my struggles, my fears to him? Am I delighting in him? Is the good news really good news to me? Have I internalized it? And have I really paid attention to it? Or am I just kind of on automatic pilot with this inertia of just, yeah, I was raised Catholic and I'm just kind of going along, and it has little or no personal impact in one's life? To delight in the Lord is grace of the Holy Spirit that's given to those who want it, who really want to pursue him, right? So trust, delight, and commit. Lord, I'm all in. as it was Joshua said, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Is that a commitment that you've made right down to the soles of your feet? Is it in your bones? Is it in your DNA? Is it something that you've embraced? Or are you living that kind of goofy piety that religion is sort of out here in the margins of life and I have to go and be a good boy and I go to church and that's about it, but it doesn't have my heart. It doesn't really have my total surrender. And so Paul knows the battles there for all of us. And then when the circumstances of life, first of all, that comes to us, that battle, because of the flesh in us, because we're fallen. And there's a deep resistance in each one of us to God and God's claim over us. It's called the flesh, right? It's that part that says, not your will be done, but my will be done. We don't trust God. We throw him a bone on occasion. We give him a little bit, but we don't want to give him too much because we're afraid he's going to ruin our weekend. He's going to take away our fun. He's going to make life difficult or boring or unbearable for us. We miss the point completely and we never make the jump and we never risk. We never fully surrender to him. So that's the big challenge. And so Paul knows that all these brothers and sisters are fighting that battle within themselves, but also that the circumstances of their life are very difficult, pressing in on them, and the devil's pressing in, turning up the heat, attempting to lead them to surrender, to go halfway, to become minimalistic, or to leave the game altogether, to walk away, and to find comfort in the world somehow. So Paul declares what God has done, and then yesterday we touched on this beautiful hymn, verse 15 and following, where he talks about really who Jesus is and his absolute uniqueness. This cannot be said about any other religious leader, ruler in the history of the world. Can't be said about Buddha, can't be said about Muhammad, can't be said about anyone else. This is what Paul said. He is, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He reveals to us totally who God is, right? He's the firstborn of all creation. He's the firstborn of God. He's born of God. He's eternally begotten of God. He's not the first creature that's born. He's the firstborn of God. He shares God's nature. For in him all things were created. All things were not created in you and me and Buddha and Muhammad. All were created in him. All things, that is everything in heaven and on earth, Paul says, visible and invisible. The visible cosmos was created in him. And all the angelic realms and dominions, even the fallen angels, everything was created in him. All things were created through him. All things were created for him. You could just take this one line and go on retreat for 3 days, and it could change your life. I was created for him. I belong to him. I'm his. What am I here for? What am I for? Why do I exist? I exist for him, for the praise of his glory. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus is holding all of reality together. He's holding you together and me together. And the more we're in him, the more we're surrendered to him and living in the power of the Spirit, living in his church, living in his purpose, in obedience to him, the more together we become. And look around society today. Everyone feels that there's a fear and there's a deep anxiety and there's division and people feel like they're losing their marbles and people are losing their marbles. Just the strangest things people are into and people are deconstructing or they're falling apart, you might want to say. They can't hold it together because they can't find meaning. They can't find the center of their life and their purpose. So they fall apart. And Jesus is what holds all things together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. All right? He died and he rose again from the dead. You're going to die and I'm going to die. He came to deal with the death problem. We're all destined to die. The question is, are we going to be subject to death forever and death's claim and sin's claim over us? Or are we going to be able to break the hold of the powers of sin and death by being united to Jesus and sharing in his resurrection? This is where I left off yesterday, that in everything he might be preeminent. The fundamental cry of the Christian community, the early church, is very simple. Jesus Christ is Lord. In the simplest form, Jesus is Lord. A friend of mine says, a whole cosmos, everything, is revealed in those three little words. More is revealed in those three little words like a nuclear bomb. It's just, Jesus is Lord. It reveals to us who God is, who we are, where human history is going, the current condition of the human, everything is there. And he is preeminent. He's the first one. He's the king. He came to establish his kingdom and rule. And that's what he's doing. Catholic Church is not just a social service organization. It's not an NGO, as Pope Francis would say. It's the kingdom of God breaking out on the earth. It's the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. It's his people who now bear his standard, his banner, who are now living by his grace and power, are called to be a light of the world. And we declare that he's first, that he's Lord of all. It says, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. The fullness of God. It's a way of saying Jesus shares completely in God's own nature. This is what it means that he's Lord. And through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Jesus came to become a sacrifice for the sin of the world that was dividing God's creation from him. Human beings from God. St. Paul says in other places, you were an enemy of God. You're hostile. We're in a state and a condition of hostility to God. Not reconciled to God. Not having our sins forgiven. Not being able to make peace with God. There's not peace in the world. There's not peace in the country. There's not peace in the community around. There's not peace in so many families because there's not peace in human hearts, is what's often said, in the human heart. And that's true. Only Jesus and his sacrifice can bring genuine peace. I don't mean just feelings of calm. I mean reconciliation between God and man. That's the source of lasting peace. He makes peace through what? Through the blood of his cross. You think of the cross right there at the axis of the vertical and the horizontal. As Jesus hangs there is the heart of Jesus Christ. Right there, heaven and earth meet in the heart of Jesus Christ. It's St. Margaret Mary Alacoque said, you know, she had the vision of the Sacred Heart and established that devotion. Behold the heart of God that so loves man and is so little loved in return. That broken, bleeding heart of Jesus who, from which came blood and water that flowed for our salvation, we see the love of God. And in the heart of Jesus, that love is met from the other side, from the earth up, right? From us. He bears human flesh. He's Mary's son. And he's the second Adam who gives to God the love that belongs to God. The love that the Father poured out in all of creation. Jesus fully receives that love perfectly and offers himself back to God on the cross. And that love is expressed in obedience. And this is something we really have to get into our hearts and understand and learn from Jesus. Love is not a feeling primarily, right? It's a decision, what? To obey and to say yes to God and to do God's will, right? In every way in our lives. That's what the saints show us. That's what Jesus shows us. And that's what you're called to. And that's what I'm called to. Friends, let's live it today with all our hearts. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.